financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Raham.
Hi, it's Frances. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Raham. Hi.
Hey, Jess. How are you?
I am doing okay. And I know we're talking about feeling better with wellness today, right?
We are. We're talking about financial wellness as an employee benefit.
Okay.
So maybe your employer can help you become more financially fit, to improve your financial literacy, to reduce your stress.
Yeah, I think we all need that right now.
Now, you might wonder, you know, why would an employer do that? Or why would you think that your employer should do that? But it's actually proven that stress about finances, right? If you're stressed out about your money, it's going to reduce your productivity at work. People
right,
who are stressed about
their,
they're distracted at work, right? Mm-hmm. And this isn't me making this up. These are, you know, bank rate surveys, Bank of America, PwC, the United States government has done this. But I actually wanted to talk about this from the perspective of health, because WebMD, of all places, mm-hmm. WebMD thought this was important enough to do a big article on it. Okay, it wasn't about the fact that I can't talk. Okay, so WebMD thought it was important enough to do a big article on this. And what they were saying is, and I'll give you a few stats that will lay the groundwork here. And this is going to parallel, which is why WebMD is interested in it, I'm sure, parallels, you know, a wellness program about your health, right? Mm-hmm. Financial wellness is very similar. You know, financial wellness should include the kinds of tools that you need, like a health program would, to become more fit, right? So if you lay the groundwork on that, you'll see, like, you know, let's take diabetes as an example, right? WebMD mm-hmm. might do an article about diabetes, and they might say one of the things that you need to pay attention to is your weight or your, you know, intake of certain foods, right? And so they would give you those tools to educate you in a way that you can help yourself become more financially well. And of course, many employers have picked this up with things like gym memberships or reimbursement for wellness activities, right? Mm-hmm. Well, financial wellness is following the same path. And just to give you some groundwork about what might be, what the symptoms might be.
Okay.
Bankrate did a survey in 2023 that said almost half of the people have less than 39% savings. Now, that might seem a little wonky, right? How do you calculate that? But let me just point out that 10% had no savings compared mm-hmm. to the year before. So in just 1 year, they went to no savings. 68% said they were worried that they couldn't cover a month of bills if they lost their primary source of income. That means Americans are living too close to possible financial disaster, right? Actual bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And so employees are more stressed now by the survey, more stressed now than about money than they were, Jess, at the height of the pandemic.
Wow. Yeah, that's shocking.
It is shocking. And when we're talking about stress and what is causing that, 85% say that inflation has had a major or severe impact on their finances, right?
Yeah.
And Bank of America survey says that 90% of employers feel responsible. 97% feel responsible for their employee financial wellness. Now, to give you some idea, in 2021, that was only 41%.
Okay. So this is really on top of mind now.
Yeah.
Are a lot of companies now doing this? Is there a percentage of how many companies are really looking at financial wellness and offering some kinds of programs?
Yeah. So I think it's something like 97% of companies are interested or think they already have a financial wellness program.
Okay.
Now, the reason I'm laughing about that is because, of course, I talk to a lot of companies and they're suffering from the same problem that the general public is suffering from. We don't really educate people, companies included, in what a financial wellness package is. So somebody comes to them and says, hey, we've got this great financial wellness program. It costs you this much per month, you know, put all your employees on it. And what happens, and you can tell me, this might be true of the radio station, is even if they adopt it, most of the employees have no idea that it's there, or it's so, it's such a labyrinth of information. It's so much, they can't unravel it. There's no clear plan about for step one, you do this, and step two, you do this, and step three, you do this. Oh, you have something that doesn't fit in the box, you get some personal help, right? Well, that just doesn't seem to be happening in the companies I've talked to. What they do think they're good at is 401ks. And so traditionally, employers have felt the pressure, I think, of not only providing a 401k, but doing a company match, because they're trying to keep their employees and they're trying to attract the best talent. So it costs them a lot of money to do this, a lot of money to match that 401k. Now, why are they doing that? Why are they focused on the 401k? Because they see it as the only way to show their employees that they care, that they are a company worth working for, that they will give you a benefit, they will give you a perk that you might not get somewhere else. And go ahead, please.
Well, I was just going to say, we were talking a little bit when you told me what we were going to be talking about for the show, and we're talking about this, and I've got to say it, I don't even know if my company has it. That doesn't mean that they don't, but I'm wondering how many people actually have had this benefit all along and just really had no idea.
Well, I'll give you an example. How many people have a 401k and have never spoken to the person running it?
Oh, it's probably the majority of people. Yeah.
They go to the HR and they say, I want to make a change. Or there's some person that comes in one time when the 401k is set up and says to everybody, 50% in stock and 50% in bonds, you're good.
Right, right.
But where is the management that you would get on a regular basis if you were educated about how to ask for that, or how to understand your 401k and how to decipher those things? And so I think what happens is, you know, everybody's busy doing their job, right? The heads of companies are busy trying to tick the box on, we've got this benefit. Mm-hmm. But the implementation of it is seldom there. And the financial tools are usually things like, you know, here's a thing on how you can invest. Well, that's great if you have money to invest. But it isn't so great if you're working paycheck to paycheck and you don't have a debt management plan. Or you have a debt management plan and you're investing something, but you don't have any idea if that's really within your affordable range because you've never done a budget, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
These kinds of tools have to be available to people, and it has to be held up and said, hey, there's a professional here that can help you with these tools. And there are webinars and there are online courses and there are, you know, calculators that you can use that are at your beck and call, and they either cost you very little as an employee or they don't cost you anything. Now, where I'm headed with that is, when employers start to understand the value, the dollar value — we're not talking about the wellness value right now, just the money involved in it — in not having to constantly be asked for raises, to be asked for more 401k contributions, to be asked to pay more health care, when they start to see the benefit in helping people be more financially well, they start to understand the value of a financial wellness as a benefit platform. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, we talk a lot about how if you don't have any debt when you retire, you need less for retirement, right?
Right.
And that's just obvious. If you're not kicking out $4,000 a month in debt or $10,000 a month in debt, you don't need a bazillion dollars for retirement because you can live on less. So what happens when employers start to get this is they start to realize that whatever they're putting into the 401k, whether they're matching it or they're not, suddenly by helping people build a budget, get rid of their debt, and plan their retirement more logically, they make the most of those retirement dollars. Now, what this is really about, Jess, is this digital relationship with money, right? With a person or a company that provides your financial wellness. And if you're an employer who cares about their employees, because that's the message here. That's the total message. Look, we care enough about our employees to give them a gym membership, to
right.
give them financial wellness benefits, right?
And if is this familiar enough now that if you're listening to the show today and you're thinking, oh, I'm not really sure if we have it. So if you go to your HR person and say, do you have a financial wellness program? Are they going to look at you like you're crazy, or are they going to be, up on this?
It's a good question, because I think the answer is either, no, we don't have that, or I don't know, or yeah, we have that. Here's how you get it. And then okay. when the people go there, they get completely overwhelmed because there's no straight path. There's no person involved, right? Like, mm-hmm. like we do webinars and, videos and all of that, so that we're there to say, look, here's your jumping off point to start. Literally, mm-hmm. it's me literally in a video saying, here's where you start.
Okay.
One, do this. Okay. When yeah. you get that done, come back to us and we'll watch another video or contact us. We'll give you step two. And here's what okay. our end goal is. And so as they're moving along through the process, they get positive gratification, positive reinforcement mm-hmm. all the way. So they have some idea. I mean, imagine that you suddenly had to go to medical school and there was nobody teaching anything.
Right.
Okay, Jess, tomorrow you're going to go into surgery. Good luck.
I think sometimes with finances, people think like, oh, I can figure it out. Like, I'm pretty smart. I can figure it out. But there's a lot of intricacies to it, as I know from talking to you every week.
Well, we're counting on that, actually. We're counting on people saying, I want to be able to manage my money myself. I think mm-hmm. I can do it.
Yeah.
You could do surgery, too, but you're going to need some training. You're going to need some support.
Right.
You're going to need some tools. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're providing, right? So it's just... It's fascinating to me that once employers really start to get, hey, wait a minute, this is not only going to be a money saver for us, we might save money on the healthcare in the long run because our people are less stressed. We mm-hmm. might have less employee attrition because they're showing up for work. We might have less distracted employees because their money is okay. And guess what? Where are they going to go to a competitor and get that? When you're talking about a benefit, and you're talking about building a caring relationship with your employees, mm-hmm. that is invaluable, right? So when they start to understand that, then they start to understand, because they get feedback from the employees, hey,
yeah.
not only are we saving a bunch of money and making the most of their retirement dollars and helping them be less stressed and being seen as their hero, but guess what? The general public is also fonder of us because we care about our employees. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And things of that nature. They're seen in a more favorable light. They attract better talent. Right.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to go to that company who actually cares about me. And we saw this in the early days with companies that had pensions. You
mm-hmm.
worked for a company
yeah.
that had a pension because that was appealing to you. They cared about your future. Where is that?
I would think. Yeah, I would think one of the hurdles might be that employers, not all, but some employers don't want to spend money up front, even though, like you're saying, and this has been proven, that it's going to pay off for them in a multitude of ways. But it's just sometimes getting them to do the initial amount, they don't want to do it.
Yeah, it's true. If it's a large sum, when it's a small amount, it's very affordable per employee. And mm-hmm. many companies, I mean, we often recommend that the employee has some skin in the game. The employee splits the cost, right? So now it's ridiculously affordable, Jess. I mean, ridiculously affordable.
Like probably a couple bucks an employee, maybe.
Well, it's more than that, but per week, maybe, right?
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, like, let's say I'm just going to pull a figure out of my hat because plans could be different depending on the benefits mm-hmm. they include. But let's say it's $39 a month or $40 mm-hmm. a month to do this. A month.
Yep, yep.
You can't cough up 40 bucks a month for your employee.
Yeah.
You know, or $20 a month, right? And so, but nobody thinks it's going to be that affordable. Everybody thinks it's going to be this monster number.
Right.
And sure, when you multiply it times a lot of employees in a large company, it turns into a lot of money. Guess what else turns into a lot of money? The amount
your
they
savings.
Save by doing
yeah.
it. That's right.
Yeah. For sure. Let's take a break here and we're going to come back because there's a lot more on this, I'm sure. I've got more questions too. But I want your phone number.
Sure. It's 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com anytime. We'll be back with part two of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the money doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Hello.
Hey, Jess. I wanted to tell you, you are still from time to time out of focus. And I bet that's how people feel who have trouble with their money.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm making a joke of it, but that's what happens with your money too, right? You have a financially stressful problem and, you know, you feel out of focus and distracted and you might even be taking time off work. And then, you know, you resolve it and things come back into focus and you're okay for a while and then it comes back. And so, you know, you really have to look at this about the long-term results of somebody feeling financially fit and how that creeps into their health, right? According to the American Institute of Stress, the physical effects of worrying about your money, right, may include irritability, mood swings, appetite changes, stomach issues, fatigue, and insomnia. Left unchecked can lead to mental health concerns like anxiety, depression, or even suicide. I will tell you that in all the years of doing this, almost no one has ever said to me, boy, I really got stomach issues over this. What they say is, I'm suffering from anxiety.
I'm pointing
my finger at my money. Now, if left unchecked, according to the American Institute of Stress, anxiety, depression, and even suicide are the places that goes, we are way too close to depression and suicide over money.
Yeah.
Over money. I don't mean to minimize that, but it is a thing we can solve. This is not terminal cancer. This is something that can be corrected. It can be taught. It can be done well by virtually everybody, given the right support.
I think that, you know, you just said it in there, though, the key there is talking. Like, so many people have these money problems and then they don't want to tell anybody and they take it all on themselves. And yeah, for sure, that's a heart attack waiting to happen.
Well, and when you bring that up, who wants to talk to their employer about it?
Right.
So they don't go to their employers and say, I've got this major financial problem, because it's not seen as what they want their employer to know about them.
Mm-hmm.
But instead they say, can I have a raise? Or they don't say anything and they just look for another job that pays more. When we talk about retention, when you are providing something as valuable as fixing somebody's finances on an ongoing basis, getting them out of debt in 8 or 9 years, including their mortgage, helping them with a budget that they've never had done successfully in their life, probably, and then actually making the most of their retirement as part of working for your company, they're going to like you. That's the bottom line. They're going to want to stay. It's hard to replace benefits like that by going to another employer. I am sure that you remember, you know, you're too young probably to remember when everybody went to work for a company with a pension, but you remember 401k starting up, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, we've talked about that before, about how it's not supposed to replace, and a lot of people look at it as a replacement.
Well, it replaced it because it could. Employers started to see, hey, wait a minute, we're spending a boatload of money on pensions. We just pick up this 401k that the government said will augment, you know, the pension.
And match 3% or 4%. Yeah,
that's right. And now companies, many companies are not even matching anymore. They're just saying,
a lot of them froze at COVID. Yeah, a lot of them.
That's right.
For COVID, they said, we're not going to match. And then they just never brought it back.
Doesn't come back. Yeah. So if you think like an employer for a minute, now, of course, employees are hearing this message loud and clear, like, wow, I could have that at work. And I better ask my HR people if I have a financial wellness package and what does it include, right?
Yeah,
but if you think like an employer for a moment and you think about how similar it is to a health package and you think about the savings that you might have in your health, in your healthcare costs alone over the long haul, because people are not ill as often, right? And your premiums might go down because you have a healthier employee population, right? That case can be made and has been made by many people. When you start to think about that, the first thing for an employer to think about, sadly but true, that's why we're in business, right, is about the dollars. But the second thing is about a healthy, happy employee workforce and what that means, right? Some companies have been very very creative about these things, right? Apple comes to mind, and some other companies where they create an environment for their employees that is based on what the employees really want, and everybody wins, right? So we can do the same thing with an, and we recommend it with an employee wellness package. So we do something called a pulse survey. And a pulse survey is just a term for asking your employees, right? And we create this, right? Let's ask your employees what which of these things they're most interested in. And then we can cater the benefits to the employees' needs. So there's no wasted money in a plan. Employers are wasting money when they just throw every financial tool in the book at their employees, most of which they don't use, can't understand initially without some support, and, you know, are just adding to the murkiness of sorting out your money, right? So when we say, okay, well, you know what, 65% of your employees were interested in paying off their mortgage ahead of schedule, or interested in, you know, getting a handle on their credit card debt or their cars, and, you know, 32% were interested in, you know, how they're going to buy their next car. And 40% were interested in maximizing their retirement dollars, and whatever, you know, this percentage was interested in budget, or these people were interested in estate planning. Then we just create the customized financial wellness package to meet their needs. But no matter what you create and what you provide your employees with, the takeaway from this, the thing that matters the most is about the education, the implementation. You can provide any tools you want. If they're not accessible, understandable, usable, you know, friendly, the employees aren't going to use them, and you're wasting your money.
So I'm curious on the financial wellness package, and I'm sure that they're, it's not one size fits all, they're all different, but what are some of the popular, I guess, programs inside of that, like some of the things that would be part of a financial wellness package that seem to be popular?
Yeah, well, I can give you some things that a financial wellness package should include, all of which we do, right? But they should include things like online financial tools. And this is, you know, according to this WebMD article, again, it just happens to fit exactly what we do. Online financial tools like calculators and things like that that help with the day-to-day budgeting, saving for college, retirement planning, and more, all of which we do. One-on-one financial counseling services for immediate concerns. That's the stuff I call crisis management, right? That's what we do. Financial coaching. How many times have you heard me say we're financial coaches, right? Financial coaching to help set goals for the future. Now, you might think there's a lot of overlap here, but they are, in fact, a step at a time attainable, right?
Okay.
In-person or virtual, which obviously we do, education classes taught by experts regarding investing and easy ways to save, et cetera. This is straight out of their playbook, okay?
Okay.
I mean, you know, how many people think they have an insurance person or an investment person, and it turns out to be somebody who's got a year or two in the industry? Okay, we're talking, I mean, everybody starts somewhere. I'm not pretending that that's not the case for myself included in the early days. But at some point, you want an expert teaching these things. Debt management services was next on their list. Student loan repayment, credit cards, et cetera. Some employers are actually offering help with the student loans, which is another place where they're saying, look, in order to attract employees, we will actually help you pay off your student loans. They could save a boatload of money by using our program, still help pay off the student loans way ahead of schedule.
Right.
And make the most of that, right? Additional tools like help with identity theft. How many times have we talked about that sort of thing? I think, you know, even some companies, when we talk about saving money, some companies are offering short-term loans now, like a payday loan, but at low interest, to help people who don't have cash reserves. So they're actually shelling out money, assuming they'll get paid back out of their paycheck, right?
Right.
To help people who don't have cash reserves. Well, how about this for an idea? How about we help build cash reserves?
Where they have, yeah, exactly. They don't need that payday loan. Right.
Yeah. And get them off the hook. So, you know, this is where we really partner with employers in a way to give these things to the employees. So you asked me, you know, what kinds of things are popular? It's the same stuff we're doing for the consumers one-on-one. It's just involving an employer in the middle so that we can help as many people as quickly as we can. And everybody saves money, right?
Right.
Everybody does better. Everybody is more financially literate and financially well. And that translates into productivity, right?
Right.
They listed the things that the WebMD article, again, I'm quoting this a lot because I read a lot of articles on this. WebMD just had their stuff together. They just got it, that it, mm-hmm. it affects your health. So they listed smart move for employers to offer a financial wellness package because it improves employee satisfaction. It increases mm-hmm. engagement. It raises productivity. It enhances well-being. It attracts and retains top talent. I mean, what don't you like about any of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it fosters a positive company culture and a healthy employer brand. So mm-hmm. I don't care how you slice this. It comes down to, now here's my one opinion about this. So far, I've given you facts and figures. My one mm-hmm. opinion is it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the right thing to do, and employees want it, and employers are feeling responsible for it, but mm-hmm. it needs to be done affordably and effectively.
I will say that, you know, just talking to a bunch of people about work in general, the thing that you hear the most, money is great. I'm not going to, you know, knock money. Money always good. But the benefits you get from a job sometimes matter more, like whether that's how a manager treats you, to appreciation, to small little things that you don't think are a big deal, like having a wellness package where they're saying like, oh, we actually care about whether you're anxious or stressed. Like I hear that from more people about like, you want to work harder for management that does that for you.
Yeah. And I think that's absolutely true, Jess. And it isn't just about the warm and fuzzy. If you think about why people leave a job.
Probably stress. More money or bad management.
And no stress. They can't do it anymore. God, I just hate my boss. I hate my situation. This is awful. They don't care anything about me. They're working me. I've all this overtime. Nobody. That's what makes people leave a company. People will work for less money mm-hmm. and if they feel valued.
Right. 100%. You know,
and that isn't the point I'm making is that isn't always about the dollar. It is about value. Value is not the same as price.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's ever shopped for anything understands that. When employers get this, when they start to get, wow, I think I could put a benefit plan in place for almost no money compared to what I'm trying to spend by keeping my help doing other things.
And like you said at the beginning of the show, it's a win-win because yes, it shows that they care about their employees, but they're going to save money in the long run.
There's a difference between a financial wellness plan and a financial wellness campaign. And you have to have a person behind it, even if it's in video. You know, there we are saying, okay, Jess, you're doing pretty well. You know, you've got through this stage and now it's time to get to the next stage. And so we're gamifying this in a way that is fun and engaging for people and is not just, oh gosh, now at the end of your day when you're really tired, let's talk about your money. That's not going to work. It's got to be something like we're doing. Yeah.
Well, this was a super interesting topic. Thank you. I'm sure people are going to have questions, though, so I want to get your phone number.
Thanks. Employees or employers, of course, call us at 413-773-3333.
Or visit hugyourmoney.com. And we'll be back next week with another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Hug Your Money. So unique, it's patented. Financial coaching and more information at hugyourmoney.com.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
Hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, and we have a special guest today.
Her name is Jocelyn King, and she's from Smarter Online Safety. And you know I love these acronyms, SOS. Come on. All right, Jocelyn, welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much, Francis and Jess, for having me. Hello, everybody. Wonderful to be here with you.
Well, it's our pleasure. You know, online safety, oh my gosh, do we talk about it? We get calls from clients who say they think their security has been breached, they've lost money, they've been duped. And, you know, we tell them things like put a freeze on your credit report, but there's so much more to it than this. And so you make the perfect guest to talk about this. Can we start by just giving our listeners a little background on how you got into this?
Well, I was making a living and making a life. I was working in Silicon Valley. It was kind of like my dream to. I was a marketing person who wanted to get into Silicon Valley. I'm a bit of a geek and interested in how things work, and went there and started working. I spent a decade working at startups and a decade working at large companies like Intel. But I was just, you know, minding my own business, living my life, and I got targeted by cyber criminals. Not because of my work or anything, but just because it is a numbers game. And I hate to tell you, but a certain percentage of your listeners are going to have something happen in the next month and something happen in 2025. And my number was up. And when I got targeted by them, there's two different types of cybercrime. One is, you know, a phishing attempt and people get in and drain your bank account or credit card or something, and they're gone. And the other is like a long haul. And there's a lot of people who go through this where you lose a large amount of money. They come, they get into your system. They want the crown jewels and you don't even know they're coming at you right away. They get in, they hack into your network. So imagine coming home, you know, and you've had your home burglarized and, you know, you're drawers are out, things are disheveled, the door's been broken, you call the police, you know you've been, burglarized. The other kind is where people get in and leave no trace. And actually that happened to me too. They actually were able to spoof being a family member, and they were able to bypass our security systems. So for instance, you know, yep. I woke up one morning and found out that our deadbolts to our house and our second building, which was my office, the deadbolts had opened at midnight.
Oh my gosh.
Sleeping. And that was a test. And the only reason I saw it was because on my phone, it just, you know, there's a little
like
history
alert.
Of, you know, yeah. What doors are open. In fact, I was doing it to just see which doors were unlocked. And I happened to see that. And I thought, that doesn't make any sense. And it said it was a family member. And bottom line is, we were able to prove to the security company, who assumed that it was just somebody sleepwalking, that or not remembering or being drunk or something. So it was when you call for help, you're also being questioned. That we had a monitor in the hallway that detected movement, and nobody had gotten up in the middle.
Mm.
Of the night. So that was our proof that no, somebody's gotten in.
Right.
And the problem with this is that you're calling, you know, it's like calling a software company and they tell you it's a hardware problem. Calling a hardware
yes.
company tell you it's a software problem. Everybody was saying, well, you need to call the security company. Security company says you need to call your, you know, your phone manufacturer. They're saying you need to call this. So I was getting that runaround and being questioned like I don't know what I'm talking about. What happened to me then was that we had been hacked. Our network had been hacked. We had people in our house, unbeknownst to us. They've actually planted surveillance. We had audio surveillance planted in our home. A microphone in our ceiling was found a year later. But in the meantime, people were listening to our conversations. They knew where we were going. They knew financial things we were doing.
Isn't that just called Siri these days?
Well, yes, but it's somebody having a direct. It's somebody's private Siri that I have not.
Yeah.
You know, if I choose to put my phone in the other room,
that's right.
I at least have some control. But when you are victimized, it's when things are being done against your will and without
awful.
You knowing.
Yeah.
And that's what happened here. And
a
I ended up
violation.
I ended up losing over $500,000.
Wow.
I ended up missing a promotion because things were so we ended up getting a double security system, and I was having to monitor all these things, and I was distracted.
Yep. That's your focus. Sure.
I was living on adrenaline and cortisol drip over 18 months. And then it took a toll on my husband's health, my health. My husband had a series of mild heart attacks, led to him needing full surgery, almost dying. had a personality change as a result of the surgery. And then, and it, so it ultimately led to our marriage failing. So lost, you know, job opportunities, lost $500,000, lost my marriage, and then my own health went down. If you see pictures of me from 7 years ago, when all this was happening, I look 20 years older. I show that picture and people think it's my, is that your mother? No, that's me 7 years ago.
Wow.
That's how much the stress takes a toll on you. And there was one morning I woke up where I thought, it just seems like it's getting worse every day, no matter how hard I'm trying. And I was almost like, I just thought I'm never going to recover. And at that moment though, I thought of my, you know, my daughter and my niece and their kids and ultimately their kids. And I thought, I can't throw in the towel on this. I have got to find a way. I just held on to the hope that there's obviously people that know how to protect from this. I've got to make it my mission to find them and get people who would help. And so it became more palatable for me to just hear no. And are you sure that's what really happened, ma'am? And all, I just thought, okay,
so bad.
I put you in the, you're not there to help me box, and I'm going to move on and find people.
Yeah.
And in the course of that, I found some of the smartest cybersecurity people on the planet. You know, the people who broke into the Pentagon when they were teenagers and were told you can come work for the government or you can go to prison. And they decided to protect our nuclear submarine codes for the ones who protect trillions of dollars on Wall Street, the ones who protect large, you know, Fortune 100s, and the ones who, in fact, some of my partners, they're the ones that are hired by Fortune 100 companies who say, come at us like you're China or Russia.
That's right. Yep.
And then they come in a few weeks later dangling the IP that nobody's supposed to be able to get so that they can tell them how to protect it. So I got to meet all these people, work side by side, founded a company. I was invited to join a company that we co-founded. And it was named a top 10 cybersecurity company. I was named top 10 woman in cybersecurity, which was huge for me because I realized it is possible. You can go from cyber crime victim, losing $500,000 and feeling your life is over to being named a top 10 woman in cybersecurity and getting to help people.
Yes.
So I wouldn't change this happening because of what I'm getting to do now. And that's what I'm doing with Smarter Online Safety.
You know, it's when we were off the air, Jess, Jocelyn and I were discovering how much we had in common. And one of the things is that kind of story. As you know, I started this business because of my personal experience, right? So I don't think there's any replacement for that. Somebody who has been through it, who didn't just develop something because they thought they'd make a lot of money on it. Necessity was the mother of invention, and she's come at this from this standpoint. It's just amazing. You know, the thing is, it's such a violation. You just feel so, you know, helpless and violated. Imagine a camera in your ceiling a year later. I mean, at that point, you have to just wonder, did they find everything? Is there still stuff here? What else can I do, right? And so I can understand where you were feeling like, look, the help I'm getting is inadequate, and I need to build a better mousetrap. And so I really do want to talk to you about that. I will share that I had some, not the loss of $500,000, but I had some similar experiences personally. For any of our viewers, you've heard about, I don't know if I ever told you about the time somebody broke into the home and I was home, you know, got past my security system, all of that. But that happened to me too. And I once had my wallet stolen in North Carolina, right off my body. And I was paying a company to protect my identity. And that was quite an experience, like Jocelyn's. And I'm sure you have things to say about this. It was a very well-known company named LifeLock. I have no problem saying this because it was the truth and it's documented. And I had been paying them $19.99 a month for a long time to protect my identity. So when my wallet was stolen, I called them immediately. My wallet's been stolen. Okay. Well, the first thing is, like Jocelyn was saying, even if you're burglarized, you know you've been burglarized, but try and list everything that was missing. When your wallet is stolen, you say, what was in it? I don't know. I mean, there were all these things and maybe more. So LifeLock said to me, let us patch you over to our wallet recovery department. And this is when I started to learn a little bit about just the tip of the iceberg about what Jocelyn is having to bump up against as a challenge. That turned out to be another company. LifeLock was just like, hey, we'll take your money. We'll put fraud alerts on your credit reports, which we can do for free. And if you have a problem, we'll farm it out to another company. Well, I got in touch with the other company, and that's when I started to learn, hey, this is kind of the way it works. Now, I will say the outcome was fabulous. I was driving home from North Carolina. I was about 2.5 hours into the drive. I got a call from the state police. Can you come back? We have your wallet. And
oh,
they
wow.
had my wallet, except for my license. And when they busted the people, they said, where's the license? And the people said, back at our apartment. They got a warrant. They went back to the apartment and busted them for a bunch of drugs. So they wanted to meet me and say, if you didn't have this protection, we wouldn't have this bust. Mm. Meanwhile, I had to do all my cards over, you know, my checkbook, everything. Mm-hmm. I got home by having a check that a local restaurateur, you know, agreed to cash for me so I could get gas money to get home. So, you know, we have a couple of minutes before break, Jocelyn, but I wonder if you can shed some light on that. Why was I paying a company to protect my identity, and really all they were going to do was track down my wallet, and they weren't even doing that part?
Well, and LifeLock is one of many, and it's not that there's something, quote, wrong with what they're doing, but our expectation. So here's the difference. It's kind of right. Like if you hired, you know, when you hire these security companies that, you know, put little latches on your windows, and maybe you have a security code pass for your door, and you put a sign out in your yard that this home is protected by, and maybe they drive through once a month. Okay. But there's a big, but a lot of this is through online monitoring. There's a big difference between hiring a company that does online monitoring of your home and having a personal bodyguard. Ask Kim Kardashian or any celebrity. Right. And the difference is we think we're getting a bodyguard. We think that if something happens, there's going to be somebody there with us helping to solve it. And it's, you know, for instance, I went to the FBI and the sheriff, and I filled out the reports, but nothing came of it. And I didn't even get a call back. And I don't fault our, you know, our frontline cybersecurity men and women, you know, first responders. But that's when I learned I'm one in a million people filing with the FBI, a cybercrime report. One in a million, 365 days in the year. If your criminals aren't a threat to national security or banking fraud or something bigger, you're lucky to have FaceTime with somebody to fill out a report.
Right.
And the disappointment of that feels like it's kind of what rape victims go through when they're thinking, do I really want to go through the process of what I have to go through? So you're expecting help, and you get more demoralized because you realize you're just filling out forms, and you're basically doing that. Some people are able, you know, banks will cover certain losses, but by the way, they will not cover losses if you're knowingly clicking on a fraud thing or selling or wiring money to somebody for get rich quick scheme. A lot of people think they're covered no matter what, and that is not true.
You're buying gift cards and giving them the pins.
Yeah, exactly. You're not reimbursed for any of that. And some stuff, if it's taken offshore, the banks can't help you with, and you know, and stuff. So yeah, so I'm with you. So the companies are there. What they're basically doing is monitoring the dark web, seeing that things are there. They're doing things that are, I call it hygiene. You know, they're helping you about credit freezes and things like that. But you can do all that stuff at low cost and shore yourself up, and then put money into things that are higher level. I think what's important is if people have no protection, you got to get started somewhere. Having that, but you don't want to just do, you know, 101. You want to 102 and 201 a little bit, especially right now, because I am still very connected to all the cybercrime people in government and, you know, and corporate. And AI is a wonderful tool that is helping cybersecurity companies get smarter tools, but it is also a tool that every hacker and cybercriminal is getting his or her hands on. And I say her because 1/3 of all hackers are women.
We're not quite equal yet, but you know, we're hoping for more hackers there, Jocelyn. more women hackers, please.
Right. Only 20% of cybersecurity professionals are women. So I like to say that the hackers are better at recruiting for diversity than the rest of the corporate is. So we got to up our game there. But hackers are getting their hands on it. And the thing is, you know, for $50, you can get malware and a mentor and turn it into a lucrative monthly cyber criminal business. And that's what a lot of people are doing. And the reason a lot of women are in it too is there's a lot of single moms in the world, in every country under the sun, who want to put food in their baby's mouths, and this is a way to do it. So it's not going away anytime soon.
Well, neither are we, actually. No. Jess is going to bring us to break. And when we come back, we want to hear some more about the nuts and bolts of this.
Got it.
Let's get your phone number, Frances.
Sure. It's 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com. We'll be right back with more Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Ram on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Ram, who has a great guest today.
Jocelyn King, and she's here because she's an expert in this. And we were talking about how what her history is and how she started this out of her own experience. So $500,000 loss from cyber criminals. She knows of what she speaks.
Yeah, it was such an interesting story. Did they catch them? Did they find out who did this to you? Were there any repercussions?
The short answer is no. Did find out who it was, but there was no smoking gun in that. So for instance, when the attic pros people came to do some work in our attic and replace insulation, that's when the microphone popped down from the ceiling. But there's no, it's not like they're dusting for fingerprints and stuff. So what they knew was that, you know, is that somebody had to be within X amount of yards in order to use it and do recording and then listen to me. So we knew what had happened, how it had happened. We did piece together who it probably was, but there wasn't.
That's so frustrating.
So no, they got away with it. Mm-hmm. And in the course of it, we just had to, you know, secure our perimeter basically and make our lives safer.
You know, where we have so many criminals of all kinds, I think that you losing money is at the bottom of the list. I had a fraud problem at one point. I went to our local police department. They're great. They respond to things very quickly. They would not even fill out the report. I said, don't you have to do a report if I'm asking? Look, you know, we could do the report, but nothing's going to happen. We don't have the resources to follow up on this. And even if we caught them, nothing's going to happen to them. So it's like this huge advertisement that it's okay to go try to do cybercrime and rip people off. We never tell people the problem here, Jocelyn, without giving them some solutions. So, and that's what we're about is education. So let's talk a little bit about some of these things. I know we don't have terribly long left, but tell me about social security numbers. People are always saying, well, I don't want to give out my social security number. And I'm always saying, look, the horse has left the corral. It's been out there. It used to be on your driver's license. Right. What do you do about your social security number?
Yeah, so great. And that's the first thing I tell people. In fact, one of the things is one of the videos I did was stop trying to protect your social security number. Now, I don't mean you should put it on your background photo on your Facebook, but I do mean that you should assume that it's already been sold 1,000 times on the dark web. What you need to focus on is protect yourself from it being used against you. The same is true with mother's maiden name, pets' names, things like, and passwords and things like this. So the first thing is, if hackers can, if they can impersonate you through your credentials, then what do you do? Well, you need to have secure passwords on your accounts. And I will tell people, a lot of people struggle with I have yet to meet anybody who doesn't know that they need a unique, long, strong password for everything. But it's the actual implementation where people go, but they don't know how to do it. So here's a great tip for you. I highly recommend, this is where you should invest a little money. It's $30 to $70 a year, depending on which one. You want to get one password or LastPass. You want to get a password manager.
That's what I use.
And the reason—
And what does that do?
So LastPass, especially if you're a small business owner or work in a corporation, because you can give out credentials without sharing passwords. So
that's right.
Giving each person a unique password in. So if somebody leaves, you can turn one off without having to reset everything. So LastPass is particularly geared, this is roughly right. You could use LastPass for personal or 1Password for small business. But generally, if you're a business and doing it that way, do LastPass. If you're a family or an individual, 1Password, super simple. What it does is you go in, and here's the other thing. People don't want to get started because they're going, oh, I have so many passwords. Well, if they hack into your AAA account, they might get a free tow. But if they hack into your IRA, that's another story. So write down right now, today, the 10 to 12 most important accounts that would devastate, that would really devastate your day, your year, or your life if people got in and drained it.
Yep.
And then you want to do that. So if you get one password, what you do, let's say it's Bank of America, you're going to type in, you're going to type in your email account. You're going to put in the URL link, you're going to put www.bofa.com, and you're going to have it auto-generate a unique password. It's going to give you something that's like 17 random letters, or you can have memorable, which has words like, you know, reignite, help, you know.
Yeah. But they're not related.
So they're not related, and they're all separate. Yeah. Then this is the thing. You're going to save time, believe it or not. Most people think this is going to cost them time. When you go, you don't go to bofa.com, you go into your password manager, which you get into very quickly.
Yep.
And then you say open and fill. It goes
like the launch button. Yeah. Yeah.
It populates your password and your email, and you're in. Guess what? You're now no longer going, forgot my password, reset, everything. That's where most people spend the bulk of their time, and you won't be doing that anymore.
I have to say there was a slight learning curve to it, and I really do mean slight. I mean, I had it up and running in almost no time, and I can share accounts with my assistant and my other people without giving up my password, right?
Right.
I don't have to worry if I fired somebody or something happened. I just unshare that. And you can either go in and say launch, and it goes to the website and launches it. Or if you go to the website, it will, there'll be a little icon next to your username and password where you can grab that from your LastPass or 1Password or whatever. It is.
The other reason that's really important is because for some people, 90% of what they do is not actually on their computer. It's on their phone.
Right.
Because there's an app, you can just copy the password and put it in while you're mobile.
That's right.
And for example, these item two. So item one is get your passwords fixed and do that.
Yes.
Item two would be turn on two-factor authentication. A lot of your banks and credit unions are requiring that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of accounts that are optional, and that's where you get the alert on your phone and you say, yes, it's me. You want to turn that on, again, particularly on your most important. If you only focus on your primary dozen, you're going to be so much safer. You can also store images of your passport. You store images of your, you do not want to keep pictures of your passport and your driver's license in your photos. So it becomes your vault.
Okay? Yes. Really, in fact, they call it a vault.
They call it a vault.
They call it the vault, yeah.
And a lot of people ask me, they say, well, isn't that dangerous? Because if they get in, they can do that. Okay, so here's the thing. Every 3 months, you're going to change your 1Password to that.
Yep.
And you're not going to give it out. But here's the other thing. Until you're at the level of cybersecurity protection, until you're a white hat hacker yourself, and like the people that I work with that I told you about, until you're at that level where you can do a better job of protecting yourself, then don't give up on having a tool like this do all the work for you and protect you better than you're protected today.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. What about fingerprints, retina scans, things like that? Why aren't we using that everywhere?
And it's coming. So 10 years from now, we're going to have a lot more of it. People didn't think we'd have fingerprint on our laptops or recognition, facial recognition on our phones. And we do. So every 5 to 10 years, things change dramatically.
I knew that we would run out of time. We're not out of time yet, but we're close. I knew that we would run out of time because there's so much to talk about. So I first want to ask you if you'll come back and do another show with us and we can continue to talk about this stuff.
Oh, I'd be delighted. Yes.
Okay, good. But let me ask you, because I have this list of questions, but you mentioned the dark web.
Yes.
Explain, if you can, in a couple of minutes, the dark web, what it is and how somebody would know if their information is being used there.
Okay, so the dark web is basically, first of all, it was built by the military for private communications back in the day. And as with all good tools, the unintended consequences were it became a place where criminals can go to share information because it's so highly encrypted that you can't trace something. Mm-hmm. So so the dark web, literally, and I have some pictures of things that I share. If you come to my website, and you want to see it. So you don't go on it by yourself. Okay. But you can, it's literally like the eBay, and Craigslist for criminals. And I literally, you know, so I've been on there and you see things like they're selling, you know, the passwords and this from the such and so breed. You've got a login and some piece of information about you for sale on there. Over 300 million Americans' social security numbers are on there, and there's only 332 million Americans. So the odds of yours not being on there
yeah,
very slim. So they're selling things the way you would sell anything else. In fact, I saw one, there was one hacker who, I kid you not, was selling furniture and you know, and some jewelry and, you know, some passwords and email addresses. And so those are replicated over and over. And that's why when you get these alerts that say you've been in a breach, if you sign up for 1Password or LastPass, you'll also get alerts that, oh, this was breached and you should, you know, and then it prompts you to change it and then it helps you change it.
Right.
But it does alert you to a breach.
Once the info's up there, though, is there any way to get it down or no?
Getting it down is like, picture a Word document that went out on email to a large group list, and you go and you delete it off of one computer and then another, but then it's replicating out there in cyberspace. So it's kind of a game of whack-a-mole. That's why I say, you know, the door's already closed on that one. Protect yourself from it being used against you, which actually makes you stronger than trying to hold on to information. Protect yourself from it being used against you is a much stronger position.
So what's the number one thing you could tell somebody they can do today to protect themselves? They're listening to the show and they say, I want to protect myself. Where do I start?
Okay. So passwords, password manager, top 10, number, two-factor or multi-factor authentication. Third, freeze your credit.
Yeah.
Freeze your credit. Probably half your listeners have and the other half don't know what I'm talking about. But the big three, you want to freeze your credit report. This means that people cannot be taking out loans, buying cars in your name and all of that. And you're finding out about it 6 months or a year later.
We talk about that all the time. And I tell people go to annualcreditreport.com or dial up the number for Equifax, punch some numbers in. Tell them you want to freeze on your credit report. They will report it to the other two credit reporting agencies. The recording will tell you what to do. I would not live a day without a freeze on my credit report.
What a great conversation. Definitely have to come back. Jocelyn, can we get your information, though, if anybody has any immediate questions?
Absolutely. So smarteronlinesafety.com. It's full of resources. I'm on a mission to help 100 million people live safer, better lives. So, and I want to help everybody who's listening take at least one step today to have a safer year and a safer life. So please take some of these tips. And if you want more, I have a weekly tip that goes out. So smarteronlinesafety.com. I'd love to help you out.
Perfect. Frances, can we get your phone number as well?
Sure, Jess. It's 413-773-3333.
All right. Thank you both so much. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Ram on WHMP.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Raham.
Hi, it's Frances. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.